This is Students Who Design.
In this episode, we meet with Jason Yuen. If you haven't already seen his Apple Music redesign, we strongly suggest you do because it's truly phenomenal. With over 47,000 claps on Medium, this article shows how good a student design case study can be. Just a little required reading from Students Who Design.
Beyond his famous redesign, we were able to discuss Jason's beginnings in theater, his thoughts on formal design education, and more.
Hi, Jason. Hi. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday afternoon in San Mateo. First off, let's introduce who you are and what you currently do, also where you study.
Yeah, okay, so I'm Jason. I am currently interning in UX in Sunnyvale. I study graphic design at RISD, and I have a year left, thank God. Prior to coming to RISD, I was at Northwestern University studying theater. It's the Northwestern in Chicago, not the shittier one in Boston. Offense. People keep making that mistake. I'm like,
isn't that Northeast?
Exactly. I'm literally get a compass. My family is Chinese, but I'm Canadian. But you know, if you have like any leads on like green card marriages.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Please laugh.
So I want to kind of dig into more of your theater background. Yeah. Also, how did you go from theater to UX?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, mainly from myself. So when I was in high school, I was the world's most socially awkward toddler. I just didn't know how to. I used to introduce
myself. You're a high school toddler.
No, shut up. I used to introduce myself as, "Hi, I'm Jason. I have bad social skills." I know now that that's because I'm on the spectrum, and sometimes social convention escapes me. But I noticed that people who study theater, they just have this natural charisma. You know, they draw people in. Whether it's, they're also like really beautiful and tall. So I thought if I did theater, I would be charismatic, beautiful, tall, and maybe even white. I don't think any of that happened, but just from doing theater, and then you know, I came to the States to study musical theater. I wrote some plays at Northwestern, but I was not very. It wasn't where my heart lied. I just felt like I was trying to force myself into a pit hole. There was this one time the speaker came on campus and they were like, if you can think of anything else you'd rather do and not theater, do that instead. And I literally just stood up. I was like, bye.
Oh. Wait, no, why would someone say that to you?
Not to me, just to everyone. Because theater is so hard. Yeah. You know, like if you think people with graph design degrees don't get jobs, like theater is even harder than that. Yeah, so it's like you have to really love it, you know?
Yeah.
But what I was really enjoying in the theater was making posters.
Mm-hmm.
For every student production that I didn't get cast in, excuse me, I would make posters for them, and I just loved it. And at some point, I was just like, what if you could click on these posters and things happened? And then I realized that that's literally called not printing the poster out and then having it on a screen.
So basically a website?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I learned HTML, and then forgot it, and I learned it again, and then stuff happened, and then now I'm here.
And what was the transition from Northwestern to RISD? When did that happen? Why did that happen? God.
So my junior year at Northwestern, I just finished an internship at Sony for graphic design. And everyone I talked to at Sony were like, if you are serious about this, you need like some sort of art degree background. And I knew that I wanted to have a very solid foundation moving forward. Like, you can't really break the rules until you know the rules, right? So I applied to RISD in the fall.
And just to give like people who are listening, what year was this and what year
so
were
this
you?
Was 2016, the year of the best election of all time. I was a junior at Northwestern. I was applying to transfer mid-year to RISD graphic design. RISD rejected me. Thank you very much.
If they're listening.
If you're listening, I have things I want to say. But they really rejected me, and I was sad because I'm like, I thought I was just shit. You know, I thought I was just not good enough. And then after that, I went back to Northwestern for the winter, obviously. And I was having dinner with my friend Evelyn. And Evelyn was like, you know, Apple's coming to campus. And then I'm like, Apple, like the Whole Foods Apple, or like, oh, Apple, God, like my phone Apple. And she and so they were recruiting for PR in Medill, which is the journalism school for people who, you know,
just for context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Medill. Yeah. So I weaseled my way into this Medill career fair, wearing like some Zara shit or some shit. And I went up to the recruiter and I'm like, you know, I know you're not recruiting for design, but I love design so much. And I've always dreamed of designing for Apple. Like, even as far back as when I was in middle school, I would just, on Microsoft PowerPoint, just make these like rounded corner boxes with like bezels and drop shadows. And like, one day Windows 10 will look like this. Windows 10 does not look like that.
Yeah.
But, and somehow she liked what I had to say and she gave me an interview. And we talked about moving forward for Apple Music graphic design, which at the point I was like, this makes perfect sense. You know, I went to Sony, I studied theater, I love music, I love entertainment, I have a really strong background, and I love design. This is perfect. But as you might know, I was ultimately rejected because they wanted me to continue finding formal training. But
so this was after, to give context, you applied to transfer, didn't get in, had this interview,
didn't get it,
and they were kind of back to back.
Yeah, literally like within 2 months of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like in the dumps, you know. I was like literally thinking of going into economics or marrying rich or something, I don't know. But you know, because it's like the universe is like, you're not good enough to get into design school, but then to get a job, you need to go to design school, so fuck you. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, fuck me too, because I can't even get someone to do that. Anyway, so at some point I was just talking and I'm like, oh my God, like Apple Music, I love Apple Music, but I just don't know that it's as good as it can be right now. And I have all of these ideas, but now no one's going to hear these ideas. And they're just going to wither away in a dark corner somewhere in the back of my mind. Like my memories of childhood trauma just locked up and never exposed. But I've got to do something. And I was like, why not just redesign Apple Music? Because like, what better way to learn by being on the job? And if I can't be on the job, I can pretend I'm on the job. I can give myself the job, and I'll just teach myself everything that, you know, they think I need to know. And that was like a 3-month process of just learning human-centered design principles, or applying that to product and UX design, going around interviewing random strangers, and then learning Sketch and Principle and Figma. Yeah, and then the rest is history.
So you talked a little bit about this case study and how it came up. Yeah. I want to go more into how you said you learned all these tools and you found all these principles online and you taught yourself, made this case study. Where did you start and where did you learn these things?
Yeah, so this idea that I did all of it on my own, I think I need to debunk that, because it's obviously not like I didn't do everything by myself, because then I would have died, right?
Yeah.
Northwestern does not have a design program. It has some design classes. So prior to that, I had some knowledge of HCI. I had some knowledge of basic product design principles. It was very basic, but no knowledge of craft. And so a lot of that began with just doing reading. I reread Don Norman. I read a ton of like online things, but also like books on just product design and what makes something fun. That's the most important thing to me, is that something feels fun. And I also knew that I was missing like a big puzzle piece, which was the craft. Like, I had no idea how to use Sketch efficiently. I had no idea how to use Principle. I can't code outside of like calling a function. So I took this as an opportunity to sort of go online and literally just look stuff up. I think you know, if you want to learn something, the best sport to participate in is extreme Googling. But sometimes you need a little bit of a push to know what to Google,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now, as far as what I did know from my classes was that user experience design does not exist without the user. And so the first thing that I did, and I did this all the way up to the day of writing it, was interview people. I started with just friends. I literally just like asked people on Facebook, does anyone use XYZ and want to talk to me about it? But then the more people I talked to, the more confident I got in my skills. I started just talking to strangers outside that I saw on Spotify or Apple Music. I started approaching people in stores. I went to California for spring break, and I didn't do anything crazy outside of sleeping till 3 p.m. But after I woke up, I would go to a nearby cafe and literally ask people that I had never met in the city that I'd never been in. I'm working on an independent project on Apple Music. I noticed that you're using Spotify. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? And people love talking about themselves, so
yeah.
They usually said yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you did this case study.
Mm-hmm.
You published it.
Yeah.
Then what?
Then I got a lot of Twitter followers. No, I'm just kidding. No, I my Twitter follower count grew by 20 times, meaning it was no longer just 5. It was just.
Yeah.
But no, I remember I published it at 8 p.m. and people on Facebook were like, "Oh my god, we support you!" And I'm like, "I support myself too." And I went home.
Yeah.
And I went to sleep. And I woke up at 6 a.m. because my phone was like buzzing all the fucking time. And I'm like, I did not sign up for this. And I saw all these Twitter notifications. And then I was like, oh my god, did someone leak a sex tape?
Yeah.
But it was better.
It was a redesign.
Because people, like actual real people, were like saying like, oh my god, this is good. And I was getting emails from a ton of people in California and New York just saying, some emails from students, a lot of emails from students saying you're an inspiration.
Yeah.
And then I was like, are you single? No, but also just people from companies, people from the same companies that rejected me.
Yeah.
I remember there was this Reddit thread that my friend sent me, and it was, my case study was the top story on Apple Reddit for 2 days. And I remember there was this guy from Google, and he was like, Apple made a mistake rejecting you. And I remember I replied, well, your team rejected me too. No, I mean, like, no shade. Like, I still love you. Yeah. But like, you know, I think it just came down to, I don't even think people saw my portfolio. I think HR saw that I studied theater and just threw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, and this just shows how incredibly arbitrary and unfair the whole job process is. This, I think, if anything, people take away from this, people need to know that if you're rejected, it doesn't mean that you're unqualified or not good enough. Sometimes the system, it's flawed. And somehow I was able to break through the noise through, you know, writing clickbait, essentially. But
yeah.
It was really surreal because at that moment, it felt like all these months of self-loathing, of telling myself that despite everything you're good enough, it had paid off.
Was all the feedback positive?
No. I mean, most of it was very positive. My friend Bo, she used to be PM at Tumblr. She reached out to me on Twitter. And that was one of the first, oh my God, moments of like people who are important with blue check marks saw this and liked it.
Yeah.
Mark Otto retweeted it. And there was a lot of really great feedback, but there was also a lot of people on Twitter and Reddit saying like, wait, oh my God. Okay. So there was this comment that someone's like, yeah, try harder. Have you thought of Cydia? Have you thought of like hacking it? Like, you're such a try hard. And I was like, yeah, I mean, why is that a bad thing? Why is trying hard looked down on? There was this designer from Facebook, I think, who subtweeted me. No, he retweeted it and he was like, why waste your time doing someone else's work when you can pursue your own projects? And I'm like, but this is my project. I loved doing this. I never intended for anyone to see this outside of like my immediate circle. I never intended for it to blow up. If I wanted it to blow up, I would have taken a much better photo of myself before putting it up. You know, I put it up because I wanted the chapter to be closed. I wanted to move on from the rejection. And for me, all this other stuff that came afterwards, that was just completely unexpected. And I feel very, very fortunate that it happened.
So design was a form of closure in a way for what happened with RISD and then what happened with Apple.
I needed to prove to myself that I loved design enough to keep doing it despite the world seemingly telling me that I should stop.
And then even after doing this, people said, like, you're doing it wrong.
Some people, yeah. I mean, like, I got comments saying, like, there's this one guy who was like, yeah, the product design thinking is really deep, but the visuals need some work. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, thank you for the feedback. And I mean, there really isn't really any response. There's some of it was quite constructive, but I really, some of the comments were just like, this sucks. And I'm like, thanks. You know, I feel like if we're going to leave feedback on student work, it needs to, it should come from a place of helping you grow.
I would also say any work. I think like the design community is very, very critical quickly.
Yeah.
Compared to like the developer community where like you give someone your code, like they'll make it better and then add to it and then pass it on.
GitHub. Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's true. And that's something I think the design community really struggles with because people can't disattach their ego from their work.
Oh my God. Okay. I have so much to say. Okay. So I used to study theater, right? I used to be an actor. And the number one thing that my dear theater professor, David Catlin, would say is you cannot bring your ego into your work. A lot of people think acting is about lying, about portraying something falsely. But David, my teacher, was all about telling the truth, telling your truth, telling someone else's story truthfully. And because your job as an actor is to tell someone else's story, you cannot bring your personal ego into it. It's just not going to work. You're not going to serve the production. The production cannot be about you. And it's the same with design, right? I mean,
design is a production.
Yeah, it's a production.
The audience and the who you're making, the characters, everything's
a there's person. So many things that go on to make a product launch. And if it becomes about you, a designer, that one designer that was on this one thing and you're like, I don't like this because I think this other thing is right, you're not coming from a point of view that's how can we make the best possible experience and product.
And production.
Exactly. Yeah. And you need to be able to step back and say, you know what? My idea wasn't very strong. Maybe my coworker's idea, maybe we need to find a better idea. Maybe this idea is shit. Maybe I'm not qualified to do this. Maybe I have more to learn. And the people that can stand back and do that and continuously question themselves and stay curious, I think that's the people that's going to succeed. And the people that are going to launch the best products. I go to RISD right now and I find that this whole detachment of ego with work thing just is not something that people talk about. I think especially in the fine arts, in graphic design, I think a lot of ego comes into play. And it's quite, I feel like it's quite a toxic environment. And I think next year I really want to try to change that as much as I can. And just bring, you know, I don't want to see people's work ripping apart communities anymore. I honestly think
communities ripping other people's work apart.
Absolutely. And and it's not just RISD, it's just design as a whole. It just gets so toxic because people can't separate their ego from their work, and therefore people start attacking each other and not necessarily giving constructive critique, and it's just not healthy. It's not a healthy community.
So we talked a lot about your journey into design. We also talked about this case study that just blew up everywhere. What have you seen in terms of other people reaching out to you and what they're doing? Are they, you know, is it also you should just do a case study whenever you redesign something if you aren't offered an opportunity or if you just feel stuck? What is your, I guess, philosophy around that? Because I'm sure a lot of people look up to you in that way and then try to emulate it.
I get a lot of messages from people, students, and I do my best to answer as many as I can. And, you know, it's always been very surreal to see that people have been inspired by something I did. As far as whether or not everyone should go out and make a case study about something that they got rejected from, I don't think you should do it unless it's out of the spirit of curiosity. Because I think part of what made it so successful was I maintain to this day that I never did it to get a job. You know, I didn't think anyone was going to see it, actually. It was good because everything I make has to be good. But but if you make something,
it has to be good too. You have to believe that it's good.
Yeah. I don't think making something that is good for the purpose of other people seeing it is going to be conductive to your own personal growth. And I think if you want to be in the design game, in the tech game for the long run, you need to come from it from a place of just curiosity and passion, and just you have to love doing it. And you can't, that may take the form of a case study, but I'm a very strong believer in just going and doing your own side projects with the same gusto and the same enthusiasm and the same investment that you would put into any real, quote unquote, real life project, because you never know where these projects go. I mean,
I think yeah. There should be no delineation between main, side, absolutely. Intern, because yeah. It's still your work.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that, like, side project junior designer bullshit. It's like, you're a designer, you make things. Yeah. Some of these things are for clients, some of them are because you love making it. None of them are less valid because of who you make them for, you know?
Mm-hmm. And what would you want someone to take away after listening to your experience?
Mm-hmm. What happens to you in terms of rejection and the world, quote-unquote, saying no, a lot of that is very arbitrary. And the only person that can bring you down / say no to you is actually yourself. Because for a long time, it seemed like everyone was telling me to stop designing. But I loved it too much, I couldn't stop, and I just couldn't say no to myself, and that was the best thing that ever happened. I think you have to just be confident in your abilities, in what you want to do. And, you know, I see this at RISD a lot. A lot of professors and students, they perpetuate this myth that unless you have done XYZ years in this, or unless you're above a junior or XYZ, or you have the connections, you can't get anywhere. You don't, and a lot of kids aren't even applying to internships. I ask why. They say, I don't think I'm good enough yet. And I'm like, who told you? Mm-hmm. Have you asked anyone? Have you gotten any feedback? Like, if you're not good enough yet, maybe you can ask someone to give you feedback so you can grow, but there's all these kids sitting around telling themselves they're not good enough and just waiting for someone to reach out and extend an invite, and that's never going to happen. You just have to go and find out for yourself. And, you know, I'm not saying that everyone comes out of the womb like amazing, you know, Michael Beirut level design, but yeah. Asking people and talking to people is the only way that you're going to know whether or not you have more room to grow. And hint, there is always more room to grow. My pet peeve is, you know, sometimes students have resumes and then they like rank their abilities in numbers. God. I'm like, what the fuck is a 5 out of 5 in Photoshop?
It's like numbers, bars.
Like, what the fuck graphs. Is that? Like, how dare, like, what gives you the right as a 20-year-old to say you're 95% in product design? Are you saying that like 5% more and then you're Johnny Ives? Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know? So I think it's just the spirit of curiosity, but also the confidence to know that you're good at what you do, coupled with the humility to know that there's always more to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Say yes to yourself, even when it feels like everyone else is saying no, because if you can convince yourself that you're good enough, chances are that's going to spread.
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more, just go out and use the many resources that are available, because the internet, I mean, like Devon Ko, amazing woman, she runs 3D for designers. Yeah. RISD's 3D class filled up in like 5 seconds because RISD is a $5 billion institution that is not up with the times. Anyway, so I was like, am I going to fucking wait for someone else to teach me this shit? I don't fucking think so, okay? Fuck you. Like, I'm going to learn this myself. So
yeah.
I looked online. I'm like, oh my God, Devin is teaching a class. I can do this at my own pace and I can get direct feedback from her on Twitter. And it was amazing. I learned so much. She's so wonderful.
She's amazing. I think
yeah,
she's like what the community should move towards.
Absolutely. And we talk about a lot of like, do people need to go to school for design? And a lot of it is like, if you have the self-discipline to make sure that you are, you know, removing your ego from your work and listening to and trying to find critique wherever you can, I think you can absolutely do it without a formal education.
My only caveat is I think it's very difficult to learn about diverse perspectives in a uncontrolled environment just like working compared to at school.
Absolutely.
So I think in a way, like, people who don't go to a design school are like at a low-key advantage if they can have the discipline to teach themselves the right skills.
Because design school is not diverse at all. Like, RISD keeps saying, we weren't diverse. And then I'm like, all your fucking professors are white men.
Yeah.
How the fuck is this diverse? You literally, like, it's one of the most toxic environments I've ever been in. But one of the initiatives that I'm trying to start next, or with my friend Advite, who is also a RISD class 2019, is we're trying to build a student community called RISD IXD. for people who are interested in product and tech and interaction creative computation, that sort of stuff, to come to have a community to hang out, to share work without, you know, judgment from the high arts, you know, because there's this belief that design is a high art, and it can be true, but we just try to create a space for people to engage in that sort of dialogue from all different majors, not just graphic industrial design, but also like sculpture and painting. And we're trying to bring in a lot of like perspectives from fellow student designers at other schools, and designers in the real world, to just educate and promote literacy in this environment. You know, it's going to take a lot of work and discipline, but if I know anything, I've met some of the hardest working people I've ever known in my entire life at this school, and I think we can do it.
I also think it's taking your own advice, because you mentioned the one takeaway you won from this is initiative and saying yes to yourself.
Yes.
And you've continued to say yes to yourself even when your classmates, professors, industry, or other institutions say no to you.
Yeah.
And also this new initiative for people who might also be in that same struggle or toxic environment, like you mentioned, trying to pursue something very, very similar to digital product design.
Yeah. So hopefully it goes well. I don't get fired from my school. I don't know. It's a long story, but
we can save it for season 3.
Yeah.
return.
But you know, I think one day I'm gonna be on stage again, but as like a presenter or a keynote speaker, and then people are gonna realize how funny I am in person, and then I will make my final pivot into stand-up comedy. So I'll catch you there.
I think that's a great stopping point. Thank you for joining us, Jason. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. You can find me places. Just Google me.
We'll put it in the comments.
Just Google me, it's fine.
Students Who Design is written and produced by Sahil Koja and Omar Abdul-Rahim. For more design resources and information, visit our website at studentswho.design or find us on Facebook.